He could do Junior in.
For what?
Well, he fool with your girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? Not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool to know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 308-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, November 13th. And it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. This is C.A. Nuri. Today is going to be one of those man-down mashup, but it's Thursday. It's going to be an open line. That means you can call in and talk about things that was being trending in the news that we haven't yet been able to trash out, hashed out. I have one or two things that I want to read into the record. I just said Erin Green has joined me today. I just sent her a document. Hopefully you'll be able to pull that up. It's an editorial that I want us to do an analysis on, but I don't want to hop her on it. Just that I found the editorial interesting, right? And I want the Bahamian listening audience to consider if what the particular writer is saying, because it's opine, right, is saying if it has any merit, should we consider it? So that's the triangle, the building of the conversation today. And of course, we'll add other conversations. Go ahead. You say something?
Okay. No. I was waiting for you to finish. So I could then say something.
So that. Then, of course, it's going to be an open line. We have one or two things, other things I want to discuss. But I'm willing to hash out. I have 2 days of this. I'm willing to hash out, explain, go into detail, do some inquiry, give my opinion to a number or range of things. But this is the article I want us to start off with. And I want you to listen and have some feedback on. Erin, you pick it up so we can start that process and then we start the show after that.
I see headlines. You know, like the child say, you see dead people. I just see headlines everywhere.
You talk about that.
All right. So the letter to the editor is titled The Gilded Cage and the Illusion of Change, October 21st, 2025. Dear editor, we are at a pivotal moment in Bahamian political life. The arrival of three distinct high-profile individuals into the electoral arena has sparked a necessary national conversation about representation, influence, and the true meaning of public service. While the candidacies of a media heir, a gaming magnate, and a global celebrity suggest an influx of resources, a deep examination of questions whether this is genuine progress or a sophisticated pursuit of the final trophy, political respectability. The illusion of respectability is key to understanding this moment. It is the process where external signifiers, wealth, fame, family name, or state sanction are mistaken for inherent moral character or a genuine commitment to the public good. I just want to stick a pin here, Mr. Nuri. They identify three people. Do I need to know what the people, who the people are right now to be able to understand what the writer is saying?
The people are significant for the conversation.
Right.
So because the conversation will be dwelling on the impact of those the three people
right.
in the political landscape.
Can I ask you one question quickly?
Go ahead.
The high profile, the global celebrity,
mm-hmm.
that's Rick Fox, right?
That's Rick Fox.
The gaming magnate.
It's Sebastian Bastien.
So who's the media heir?
The heir of the Tribune.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the writer goes in detail and explain his point.
Yeah, no, I forgot.
You forget, I want to see if the writer makes sense.
Right, because I needed to understand that.
Yeah. Where are you
Thank
going?
You.
Go ahead.
Yeah. While the candidacies of a media heir, a gaming magnate, and a global celebrity suggest an influx of resources, a deeper examination of questions whether this is genuine progress or a sophisticated pursuit of the final trophy, political respectability.
And this is the conversation that, and you mentioned political respectability all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like why people pursue politics when they seem to have everything already. It's that respectability. And global respectability in general. But we're getting there, because
mm-hmm.
I want you to critique it. We're getting there.
The illusion of respectability is key to understanding this moment. It is the process where external signifiers, wealth, fame, family name, or state sanction, are mistaken for inherent moral character or a genuine commitment to the public good. Just stick a pin. When they say state sanction, they mean like you may have been appointed as an ambassador.
I didn't really analyze that part.
But I think that's what they mean.
Okay.
Right? I don't think it's a negative, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a negative. This illusion is meticulously constructed in the profiles of these hopefuls. Candidate number one, whose grandfather represented a constituency under a system designed to marginalize the black majority, now seeks that same seat under the banner of the PLP, the party that fought for majority rule. His path was not forged through decades of party loyalty, but was paved with the announcement of a multi-million dollar investment in the constituency.
And we have paused there, because
mm-hmm.
this is significant, right? Usually when you get a nomination, you're a party stalwart. You go through the ranks, you're being a sponsor. And I think there should be a national critique on how candidates are selected. Persons who are not a part, affiliated with the party at all, can jump the line instead of towing the line. They say, well, I've been at least a benefactor for a couple of years. Can completely jump over people, scores of people who've been waiting decades.
And I think we...
And be comfortable and able to be embraced.
And I think we as the general public who are not members of the PLP party have an obligation to members of the PLP party to ensure that the conversation could take place safely for them, because they may be scared to ask these types of questions in their own party.
We can have the conversation
mechanism.
Today. Go ahead.
All right. His path was not forged through decades of party loyalty, but was paved with the announcement of a multi-million dollar investment in the constituency, hoping to secure a nomination. They're talking, referencing Baxwin, BACSWN, because I thought that was an investment in the country and not just the constituency. This is a profound transaction. Economic capital and a powerful family name are used to purchase political credibility, creating a facade of reconciliation that masks a calculated acquisition of power. Candidate number two represents another facet of this illusion. Having emerged from a gaming industry that preys on the vulnerable and which famously spent millions to subvert the clear will of the people in a referendum, this individual now seeks the ultimate stamp of public approval, an elected office. The nomination is a talisman to ward off public disdain, an attempt to transmute controversial wealth into the respectable veneer of a public servant. Candidate number three, the global celebrity, trades on a different currency, namely international fame. His respectability is derived from athletic and cinematic achievements, not from a sustained record of local political engagement or residency. The announcement of a visionary housing project, which has so far yielded a concept home, feels more like a publicity campaign than a grounded plan. Stick a pin. Partana is what's being referenced. Remember the number of stories on Partana?
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
For him, politics risks being the next role, a way to convert global stardom into a local legacy, adding, quote, honorable, close quote, to his list of accolades. While their motives warrant scrutiny, the greater tragedy lies in their chosen method. Each proclaims a desire to help their community, yet they seek to do so by joining a political system structurally designed to prevent the very individual impact they promise. Our parliamentary model, particularly under a powerful prime minister, that's that 73-1A part right there, that's what they mean by powerful prime minister, functions as a benevolent dictatorship. An individual member of parliament, no matter how well-intentioned, has negligible power to direct policy for their constituency against the prime minister's agenda. Their grand promises will inevitably collide with the rigid discipline of the party whip. This is the core conflict they either fail to recognize or willfully ignore. If their true motive were genuine, tangible development, they already possess the means to achieve it outside of politics. Their wealth and influence could fund independent think tanks that develop nonpartisan policy solutions. They could champion existing grassroots causes that lack a powerful voice. They could drive the private investments in housing and job creation they speak of, unhamstrung by political compromise and the conflicts of interest that will force them to set aside their business pursuits. That they have chosen the path of political representation, a role they must know is structurally impotent, strongly suggests that the, quote, help, close quotes, is secondary. The true motive appears to be the acquisition of the title, recognition, and perceived authority that comes with high office. They admire the facade of leadership and desire to add this final piece to their collections of fame and accomplishment. They are seeking to enter a gilded cage, trading their independent power for a title that offers more prestige than practical authority. Therefore, the question we must ask is not which of these individuals to support, but what a truly courageous and transformative ambition would look like. If these influential figures genuinely wish to serve the Bahamian people, they would not seek to join a broken system. They would use their immense platforms to demand its repair. Instead of becoming another muted voice in a dominated parliament, they could lead a national, nonpartisan charge for constitutional and parliamentary reform. They could leverage their resources to educate the public and lobby for decentralizing power, strengthening the role of backbenchers, empowering constituencies, and breaking the prime minister's quasi-imperial grip on governance. They could advocate for a system where an individual representative truly has the power to fight for the community that elected them. The spectacle of these personalities vying for office is a story of misplaced ambition. They are seeking to acquire the illusion of respectability by entering a system that specializes in creating illusions of efficacy. They would achieve far more for the Bahamas by building houses, funding innovation, and challenging the very structure of our governance from the outside. To choose instead the powerlessness of a parliamentary seat reveals that the performance of leadership and the fame that accompanies it is ultimately more seductive than the hard, unglamorous work of creating real systemic change. Signed, Rabbi Commons Sense, spelled Z-E-N-S-E.
I wanted to read that into the record because I found the engagement entertaining. I found it necessary, and I wanted the Bohemian people to consider it. Those people who do not usually read these opined section, and to consider the three people mentioned, and I wanted in terms of hear your views about the article, the opined write-up itself, a response to it, and whether there should be some type of interrogation on why the three people who mentioned are running. Do they have any duty of care to the Bohemian public mm-hmm. in general? And should the Bohemian public even care?
Right. And I think let's just make a correction because Fox has not announced.
But he's in the political space. So we have him in the political space. Mm-hmm. Even though he hasn't announced that he's running or preparing to run,
and
he has been doing all kind of innuendos that he might.
And let me just say that Sabah set a precedent. Right, that Fox may follow, which is, I think, the word I can use is surreptitious. I'm not sure if that's correct. But the way that he entered the space with that letter to the editor, pretending like, you know, this is, I'm above this. I'm, you know, I'm above this politics. I'm beyond this politics. I'm just contributing, right, to national development. Mm. And then all of a sudden you paving roads.
All the time you're feathering your nest.
And let me stick a pin, because I think maybe Adrian Gibson set that precedent first. Hmm. And then Sabas followed.
In terms of all the opine letters he did, trying to say he's the ultimate nationalist and not knowing that
and beyond politics.
Yes, that he's feathering his nest too.
Or above politics. And we don't quite know, right? Hmm. Like when the decision was made, but you know, is Fox following Sabas and the Sabas following a precedent that has already been set, right? And my response to it is I'd like to thank the writer for so succinctly collating all of the things that I have said in various ways on the show about the approach to this election season, right? That I'm glad that the writer pulled it all together like that, because it's not just me, callers, texters. Multiple voices have been asking these similar questions. Like, why are you entering politics? What's the purpose? Tell us now.
Can the answer just be because I want to serve?
I think the writer spelled it out clearly. If it is that you just want to serve, have you not acknowledged or assessed that you actually would have greater impact outside of politics than within politics? I mean, I think the writer is succinct in laying out the points, and they're very clear. You have more power outside of politics to help than inside of politics.
Rick Fox suggested that he has international experience that the Bahamas does not have, and that he can add that to the discourse in our local politics.
Hold on, but what experience?
I don't know.
More experience than Sidney Poitier? More experience than Bird Williams?
He can play ball. He's acted. We haven't had that here under such a high.
Yeah, Vijay Edgecombe. Hold on, pause. I know you can say basketball and acting, right?
Yeah.
But Vijay Edgecombe is dunk on you and then look at you like Sir Sidney Poitier into Sir With Love.
Yeah.
Like, don't talk. Would you like Sir Sidney Poitier in the heat of the night?
Man, so he has Vijay. International exposure that Bahamas can benefit from. Let's go.
Now, hold on.
Yeah.
You may have international exposure that the Bahamas could benefit from, but don't suggest that you have international exposure that we have not received or benefited from other well-placed Bahamians as well.
Yeah. Let's go to the caller here. Guardian Radio AM, your live caller. I'm trying to make space for you. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good things for life. You
good
know,
blessings.
What we're practicing here in this Bahamas, right? It's crony capitalism, right?
What is the name again?
Crony capitalism, right? Yeah.
So what I like to say is, right, nobody can go to the market without money, right? And the debate in politics and all the developed nations just is which ones is about the taxation, the proper way to taxation, to find money to go to the market to buy housing and healthcare and everything that the people need. So why are we not having these discussions? We having these discussions like oh, we need to grow the economy and everybody need to be able to run a business or get it. You know what I'm saying? So what is this?
Listen, I'm not quite sure why we continue to have those conversations, right? But I just read this article. Stubbs points to challenges from permanent secretaries, and every time in this article he suggests that the government should be run more like a business. I just want to
government. Let me say it again, then I can hang up, right? See, governments don't run like a business. The Chinese government in China don't run like they run like a business. They run like a business own the economy. You understand me? And the service of the people, not the corporations. When the corporations do corrupt things, they lose their wealth.
Yep.
You see, we got to stop this man and stop bringing these people who call themselves smarter than these dumb. They pimps. That's all they are. Let's get the money right.
I hear you.
Keep
I appreciate
it simple.
You,
let's get the money right. That's too taxation.
I hear you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Let's move on to the next caller. The caller is passionate there. Mm-hmm. He's been calling and complaining and agitating for a while, advocating. Go ahead, caller.
I think is what he acknowledges is that there's a lot of rhetoric passing around, but he never hears that language that suggests that the people are actually talking about the issues.
Yes. Go ahead, caller. You're live.
Hey, good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Aaron and Mr. Nuri.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, the caller was passionate, but when it relates to just open line, right?
Yes,
yeah, man.
Look, all right, before I touch on them three poisons you was talking about, let me ask you all this question. You all believe crime to stay in the Bahamas?
If crime is going to stay in the Bahamas?
No. You know, they have a song say, crime don't pay. But I'm asking the question, do you guys think crime pays in the Bahamas?
Yes, it pays.
Okay. All right. So let me go over once you. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, when it relates to these three poisons you was talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
By law, they might have the right because of being citizens to vote, right? I mean, to run as candidates, right?
Yeah.
But what happens to the democracy of a nation, right, when you have people would control the airwaves, right? Like the boss, you all missed the point. The boss runs Eyewitness News.
Now, hold on. Just to pin very briefly, Sabas will tell you that what he has...
Interest,
yes. But he's
okay.
Not
well,
operating, managing.
Okay. We don't know. Could you tell me what is the level of the interest he has?
Well, I'm waiting for them to pass the Beneficial Owners Act myself, cousin. So
all
the
right,
point
then.
Is taken.
So, all right, moving right along, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to the gentleman... What the PLP now is have for the Tribune.
Okay, right? He has not been ratified as yet.
Okay, but we're still talking about the fact that he might be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. So when if he is right, and then we have all of the rest of the some media houses what is already conflicted with the PLP, when right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, because they give them ambassador and all them other things, you know. So I'm just trying to say, if the PLP should win a general election with all of these characters being elected, and the type of governance we are getting now, we can't get information to the point that they refused and they are bold enough to tell us that we are not getting no information.
Listen, they wouldn't even let you copy and paste from the new government website.
So what type of democracy or what type of Bahamas it would be when we have a government with control? Not just the executive and the legislature and the media,
but they may control the fourth estate as well,
and the religious leaders and so where are the poor people go? What avenue is being put in place for poor people to have some refuge to run? Because at the end of the day, when all of these people are under one umbrella, it makes no room for the poor people to have no place to run. And I can end on this, right? If a person was convicted for murder, right, that person should never be able to get another offering for a government country, but y'all do y'all research, because I ain't calling no names, but crime do pay in the Bahamas. Have a nice day.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate the caller and his hashing out his concerns. And it's something that we should be debating. It's something that mainstream media should be debating.
Oh, no, man.
Political should be debating.
Hold on, pause. Everything this boy said is worthy of interrogation. Yeah. For instance, if you believe, like I believe, that one of the things that the Davis administration is good at is media busting, then you must ask the question, what is the risk, right? What is the risk of loss of integrity and independence of the collective media of the country if so many individual professionals in the country and media houses are affiliated with the party? That's a more than important question.
People, and as you call it, we're coming to you right now, people would consider, say, if the Bahamas was a bigger country with millions of people, those people with such significant social influence would not matter.
Well,
but we are a small economy, small population, where we have access to touch our prime minister as he walk by.
It's not just that, but it is that. In small island developing states, in small states, you must have mechanisms to manage conflicts of interest when conflicts of interest are unavoidable. Mm-hmm. I mean, and these guys just look us straight in our face and say, you don't see what you're seeing. Mm-hmm. You not... In fact, you know, but that's what the mother boys say when they...
So let me ask you this.
They say, I ain't doing what I'm doing.
Which entity in the Bahamas is supposed to challenge this or police this type of possible conflict of interest? Like, this is their job. They're as a watchdog to say, hey, by the way, I appreciate what you're doing, but there's a problem here. This right here is shady. Right here needs to be explained.
I'm not sure if there is any national mechanism designated for that specific purpose, but I think the entities in this town that demand the lion's share of the space, the lion's share of the exposure, the lion's share of the benefit for proximity to the state, those entities should take on the task of ensuring integrity in politics, right? Like, there is no single entity designated for it, but that's everybody's job.
Let's engage this caller here.
Oh, yeah, just before you go, though, I want to say to the previous caller, mm-hmm. Bro, I have to start a political party now because under one umbrella is my campaign slogan, and that's a nod to Ride the Wave with Humming Brave.
Okay, go ahead, caller. Guided Radio AM. You're live.
Yes. Good morning to you, Mr. Nuri, and good morning again, Ms. Green.
Morning.
I wanted, because it's an open line today, I wanted to touch a little bit on the politics.
Go ahead, man.
And then I'd like to make another point concerning the coconut vendor.
Okay.
As it relates to Golden Isle by-election,
mm-hmm.
What I don't understand is that the prime minister of this country was governing this country for the last 4 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the things that Mr. Pickstock supposedly be doing now in Golden Isle as it relates to this by-election, why weren't these things but done more earlier?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the government has what it needs. And now that it's a by-election, you could now decide to pave Carmichael Road and do some other stuff. Why weren't these things done before this by-election was called? What was the problem?
I can tell you what the problem was. See, before the by-election, you could always blame it on Vaughn Miller. Before the by-election, you could always blame the failure on Vaughn Miller because it's his responsibility. But now that he's passed away and we don't speak ill of the dead, you can't get away with that. I mean, unless you pick stock, but then... That's another story.
Yeah. Okay. But what I want to say, I believe there will not be no real change, especially in Golden Isles, because the way I look at it now is that now that we have the same party trying to flex their muscles to show the people of Golden Isles that they're willing to do something, but in fact, if Mr. Pickstock should win, and I hope he don't win, but if he does win, then, you know, he's just another member who's going to fall in line. He can't do nothing of his own, and he'll have to fall in line and do what the party tells him to do. Secondly, I want to say to the Bahamian people that I feel that they need to take a close look at these governing parties, namely the PLP and the FNM, who has governed us for over 50 years. And we haven't been, in my opinion, advancing since we have been stagnated in this country. We haven't been propelled forward. There was no new vision for the Bahamian people to, in fact, have a real piece of the pie. There's no tangible stuff in place for us to move forward. And I think the Bahamian people now have to look at the norm, get that thinking out of the box. We heard the lady, the independent lady, who's willing to put a hand in the race.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we got the COI there. And I feel that, you know, if a man is drowning, you know, you have to hold on to something. If you try to hold on to the same boat with a sinking, you're going to go down with that boat. So we have to be more intelligent about the way we vote and who we choose. Because if you haven't done nothing, I mean, to really help the people, the poor people in this country for the past 5 years, an extension, 50-something years, what would change in another 5 years if you put these jokers back in?
Okay.
Then nothing will change.
You also mentioned about the coconut.
But we just obviously need a change.
All right, caller, before you go on to coconuts, I recommend you and all listeners who are interested in this conversation and your commentary in particular, go to Facebook, search Future of Democracy Conference, right? And on that page, you're going to see recordings of panelists' presentations from this most recent one in October all the way back to the first conference addressing, Mandelson, this recent conference address everything you mentioned just now in your contribution. Every single thing, including 73-1A of the Bahamas Constitution.
Let's go to the next caller there, Kermit. Guiding Radio AM, you're live. It's an open
Good
line.
Good morning, Mr. Neary. Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning, morning.
Yeah, Aaron, wouldn't that be, to answer your question quickly before I make this point, wouldn't that be IRCA who would be doing the policing?
Not necessarily, no.
Okay.
Now, IRCA polices what's said in the public domain.
Oh, but they don't come.
No.
Except.
Yeah.
Okay, then. Now, when you look at Aaron, just a point that I want to raise. Over the years, if it makes sense, if it doesn't make sense, please let me know. But when you look at how we construct our budget, Aaron, this is how I believe we could get real change. Everything comes from the top down to us.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the things, the line items that they have projected to do, they don't have anything to do with us. But for example, now, if we really want change, I believe our budget should come from the ground up as opposed to it coming from the top down.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, for example, the area representative or the candidate, they should have a listing of exactly what needs to be done from a socioeconomic perspective from each constituency. You outline these things, you itemize these things, you put them in the budget, or you take them to cabinet or wherever you want to take them, or to your party if you're in opposition. You highlight these things, and when you constructing your budget, certain things should have already been included. So it don't come as a surprise to us as to, well, we didn't plan for this or we didn't organize this. Nobody talked about this, but they're bringing this bill and they're doing it and borrowing money to do things that we have no knowledge of. So what do you think about this perspective? We have a paradigm shift. Don't you think that the majority of us would benefit as opposed to just a selected few?
I mean, I definitely think it's worthy of interrogation. But then even with whatever system we have, the issue is primarily protecting the integrity or ensuring the integrity of the system.
We're going to need the Freedom of Information Act. We're going to need the anti-corruption bill. We're going to need so much other things. We're going to need different layers of government, like local government.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we need to change the name to local government because these people catch a lot of feelings. That's perhaps why they don't want to implement it from a national perspective. Because when you're talking government, these people get possessive.
Well,
we could perhaps look at calling it local government. It could be the same thing, but a different name. So these politicians could, you know, relax a bit and bring these legislative changes that we can, I mean, developed countries, Eric, they don't just have a central government.
Don't mind
they
these.
Have different tiers, different layers.
I appreciate you, Clever. Thanks again.
I'm going to say, listen, 73-1A, the member of the House of Assembly who is the leader of the party. That's where we need to start.
Party politics. Can a person like a what a basketball person, Rick Fox, if he wants to enter Bahamian politics, can he come and run as an independent, or he has to go and join a political? I mean, of course, we know that he have choices, or he has to come in as a political.
Hold on, what a fascinating and exciting question, right? If I were Rick Fox's campaign manager, I would tell Rick Fox, you need to enter as an independent. You need to show unabatedly your allegiance to the Bahamian people outside of party politics. You need to come in as an independent. As soon as you let a party use you to build their political credit, the people cannot, well, there'll always be a question in the minds of the people of whether they could trust you or not. So if I was campaign manager, I'd tell him, big man, come in as an independent with a very simple campaign. You identify three things in the constituency that you can do that could be sustainable and could be sustained by organizations in the community if you don't get a seat, if you never enter politics again. That would be my advice to him.
Let's go to this next caller. Kermit Patrick, call it through, please. Go ahead, caller. You're live. Guiding Radio AM. Go ahead, caller. You're live.
Hey, morning. Hey, I think that Rick Fox, I think he should join our major party, right? Based on the fact that you have to spend millions of dollars, his own money, to run a campaign. Why do that and you can use the party money?
What party money? What do you think makes these people attractive to the party?
Boy, remember the only Bastion, Bastion, right? He's basically the only one who pulled off basically a very long time independent win.
With me.
He pulled it off, and he pulled it off smooth, too.
But, okay, we got DePuch, we got Wells, and we got Bastion, but all three of them...
Yeah, but how long ago that was, though?
Wells and DePuch were recent time, man.
Whitney is more recent than them.
Whitney,
that's what, 20 years ago?
Possibly.
Yeah, about...
All right, that's two generations.
One must appreciate that when they did run, nobody... They had a faction of the political parties who did not run against them.
Right, so there was collusion, even if there was not... See, Wells and DePuch have affiliation with the political party. What I was questioning is whether Whitney actually had affiliation with the PLP, but was disgruntled.
He was going to be nominated to be the PLP standard bearer, and he got denied.
Right, so none of those three are truly independent.
I got you. Yeah, but boy... Rick Fox, he's going to have to spend at least $3-4 million of his own personal money or find funding, political funding. And that, you know, political funding is difficult based on the fact that you can't get the individual's kickbacks.
Well, listen,
that's how things work.
What are the obligations that come into play when you run your campaign on the party's money?
Ms. Green, you know how much it is for them posters. Then you got to pay people to put up the posters. Then you got to pay people to take down the posters. Then you got to buy people home and take you during Christmas.
Cousin,
then you
got
to
listen, hold on.
Do other things on the side. That's his own place and money.
I got to go, but what you're telling me is that we've commodified politics, right? See, politics
is
supposed to be sacred. The election's supposed to be sacred. But what we've done, like everything else on this plantation, is we've commodified it. We've capitalized it because we have more dollars than cents. Or we did, right? We used to have plenty of dollars. We still got more dollars than cents.
Let me try.
But that's just the reality of the situation.
No, it's not just the reality of the situation.
Let's try to squeeze the next caller in there, Kermit. Then we can take a commercial break right after that.
Hi.
Go ahead, caller. You're live, and then we go to commercial right after you. Go ahead.
Come on, that's me?
That's you, yeah.
Come on, CA, Aaron. You're all very highly intelligent people. You know, IQ got to be up there, 120, something like that. And you're also Afrocentric. But the problem that we have, what I've been noticing, we name calling, we too personal with this political thing. I recently took a trip to China, and as much as we bash China, like the previous caller said, we need to start thinking about a new governmental system. There's nothing wrong with being a socialist country. As much as people say, you know, China's communist or whatever, that's false. They have their ducks in a row. They have everything organized, from public transportation to education. even transparency in the government. All of their citizens are employed, no poverty, no potholes, no debt, nothing like that. So, we know about this politician, how much they make, this politician, if they're going to run or not. That is getting us too involved in the system. And on top of that, we have no way of interfering or manipulating the system. This voting, it doesn't make a difference. The party political system is not working. And from 20 years ago to now, we should have had something in place where we have at least a 10-year plan. We don't even have a 2-year plan. Because if the manifesto is dropped when the political party is run, within 2 months, you know, they have the 100-day plan. Within 2 months, that's out the window. And we start seeing the same over and over again. So I don't know if there's a process to get this done. I know we had a topic about becoming a republic, but that would be the same thing. So maybe we need to change the governmental system to see, because the country is not poor. I know we can all agree on that. It's just mismanagement of funds. Thanks for thinking.
Cousin, as you go and we go to the break, I'm going to ask you to read, like, if you're looking for a starting point, I don't know if this is it, but try here. Start here. Bahamas Constitution, Chapter 6, Article 73.1. Whenever there shall be occasion for the appointment of a prime minister, the governor general shall appoint as prime minister A, the member of the House of Assembly, who is the leader of the party which commands the support of the majority of the members of that house.
We practice party politics in the Bahamas. That's our part of our constitution. Next week, I'm hoping to get Felix Stubbs to come on. I haven't claimed it yet. I just reached
out.
Well,
why you don't let me read from this article and maybe...
Yeah?
Or maybe not.
No, but when we come back or from the break. But we don't talk about the National Development Plan. Is there a need for one? Why keep on...
Stop. We're not starting the conversation there.
Where are we starting?
There is absolutely a need for a national development plan. We know that. We know there's a need for a national development plan. Any politician, see, I don't want you to set a politician up. You could say it on the air. Mm-hmm. Me and you could have that conversation. But if a politician in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas opens their mouth to any, if they talk to a pot cake and ask them, do we really need a national development plan? Fire them.
Well, we know we ain't gonna fire them.
No, we can fire them.
We fire anybody yet?
No, we firing you from the scene.
Oh, God.
Go home. Oh, don't God. Say nothing no more.
But yeah, I'm trying to get him on to explain the process and why there has been so many pickups. We've been talking about this national development plan for decades. Something is happening. So we need to reinterrogate it and see where's the disconnect. Right? So we'll be working on that interview for next week, and hopefully that comes out. But we're going to our first commercial break. We have about 10 more minutes left. I see we have a caller on the line also. Let's do this commercial break so we come back quickly. Guiding Radio AM with CN Uri. We'll be right back.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Rona. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
One in every four Bahamians face some level of food insecurity. AML Foods remains committed to helping. And this year, through our Feed 5000 program, we'll donate $50,000 to provide holiday meals for families in need. But we need your help.
from November 3rd to December 17th, show your support and donate at the register at Solomon's, Cost Right, Fresh Markets, Eleuthera Markets, Exuma Markets, or Domino's Pizza in New Providence, Grand Bahama, or Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. I thought we had a caller on line, but the caller hang up. Okay, there it is. Let's quickly get the caller in before we go. Go ahead, Guardian Radio AM is open line today, but we wanted to discuss those 3 points that we read earlier, which we started. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, how are you doing to both of you, C. Allen Johnson? A couple of quick points and then one open line issue. What we need is database budgeting, meaning that you don't say what it is, and you put key matrix. Like if you say we need this much money for paving the roads, you list everything that you're going to do, timeline you're going to do it, what's going to be allocated to it, and other KPIs attached to it. Aaron, on your Fox thing, what Fox needs to do is just come in on one of the parties and go independent, save the service the money, let them spend the money, and then go to the middle of the floor if he wants to do anything. But what
would you call that in basketball, C. Allen?
Huh?
What trick that is in basketball when you do that? That's like the Euro step, right? You step one and you pause and then you step.
And then you spin around and go backward. But the point is this. Whatever he does, right, mm-hmm. you need to stop telling us for what he going to do in the constituency that actually we already pay for. You know, all these things these people saying they're going to do in the constituency, we already spent hundreds of millions of dollars for them.
You
want to do is take what you're going to do to build the people and the community. You can't do it individually. It has to be done collectively.
Just a quick point to what you're saying. I would be offended if a candidate who just nominated came to my constituency and told me they were doing things in my constituency. I would be offended.
And you should be. And that's absolutely, you should be. In fact, the government of that time should bend their head in shame that the candidate would have to come and do it with the billions of dollars they have in the candidate, suppose we don't have any. So, or motivate them to do it. When the person is coming with the talk about the National Development Plan, make sure you get me a copy of the National Development Plan, PLAN. But I first want you to look up the definition of what a plan is, as opposed to a strategies and an idea book. Mm-hmm. Okay. But your previous show, a call about the government. Hey, guess what? It said that. AI is not going to replace people, but people using AI will replace you and a few other people, one person. But here's what happened. Mm-hmm. If I was in charge of government, even right now, they could call me for $100 a day, and I'll have AI answer every question for government, because I'll just get one phone number, connect to my computer, and when you ask the question, if AI doesn't know, it'll get it. The next person who asks, it'll have the answer, and just keep going on. Just answer all of the questions that these MPs can't answer just by putting the data there. Mm-hmm. But that's what it is. Now, on this open line, I want to talk about this issue of housing that we keep talking about, financing of housing, and the need for people to understand what it is. Okay? I'm sure the FNM is going to release the plan. But let me give you two aspects of it, just two means, right? Because we live in a world of fintech, okay? And information is out there, and the world is not using the imaginary controls that we have. Exchange control and everything else. We now have securities, crowdfunding rules, digital asset rules, and a whole host of other fintechs that's available abroad for MSME financing. But here's what they do. The government of Obama is going to, the minute the next administration come in, they're going to find at least a $500 million deficit, right? Here's what I would offer to the government. Put, what do you call those things, those government bonds out. Mm-hmm. I'll buy the whole $500 million worth of bond. What they want, and they will have their bond. But I will hold the bond. Then what I would do is I would tokenize that bond as a stable coin, for which then I help those people who help fund my stable coin will have that 6% the government is paying. At the same time, I would leverage that stable coin against loans to build a housing complex. I would go and build 1,000 homes for $200,000. And because I already have the preferential 6% coming from government, I would offer 4% mortgages on those particular homes. So what happens is cumulatively, the people holding my stable coins would have a 10% return per year on their money, and the government will have the $500 million it needs to fill the deficit that it will need in place. For those individuals that want to enter into the 50,000 keys that is needed for the Bahamas, 16,000 on Grand Bahama, another 15,000, 10,000 on New Providence.
Keys in terms of to open home doors.
Right.
Yeah.
This is keys for we need to rebuild our tourism product, which I'll split into two. Erin comes to me, and she wants a $300,000 home. I say to Erin, you know what, Erin? You don't make the $9,000 a month for the home. But here's what I would do. Since you don't make enough for the $300,000 home, why don't I lend you $500,000? Sounds crazy. But I say to the person, what I want you to do is I want you to spend $300,000 on your home, and I want you to spend $200,000 on your bed and breakfast, because I want you to have a luxury bed and breakfast. I want you then to make that available. Forget the $400, whatever you have. I just want you to make that available for the $2,000 a week, which will bring you $200,000 a year, because you only need 52 people for short-term vacation rental, 70 at the most.
Alan, I like the idea. We out of time. At the same time, though, man, I just want a house I could afford. I want you to know I appreciate what it was you were saying in terms of a strategy, but what if, like, I'm a simple guy. I want a simple life. I want a simple family and a simple wife. Like, just build me a house, a housing option I could afford. It don't even have to be a house, but it has to give me a sense of ownership in terms of the space that I occupy. I occupy it freely. It has to give me a sense of community and safety and security. That's all I could afford. And it turns out maybe I can't even afford that, but that's all I need. I can't worry about all those extras.
This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Erin Green. Tomorrow we'll have a show again where we analyze the news. Maybe open line, I'm not sure yet.
Let's talk about this headline. Restraint will be tested. Claire admits it may be difficult for officers to guard man accused of killing one of their colleagues. What you telling me? Did you have to fire all of the officers?
There's something wrong with that person. We'll be nice to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.